Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Everybody, welcome Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, MileHighSports.com. Listen, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. If you're looking for a good idea for dinner tonight, how about Marco's Pizza in Aurora? Two great locations, one off of Smoky Hill Road, the other one is off of Quincy. Dough's made fresh every day. Sauces made fresh every day. Absolutely love that place. I had been looking for a great pizza place for years. I've been here in Denver for about 16 years. And once I found Marco's, it's the only place I wanted to go. Everything there is fantastic. We are giving away one large specialty pizza in the second hour of the show. Mace, how are you?
That specialty pizza sounds good. I'm doing well. The big question I have for you is, how was your golf game this weekend?
We only played nine.
Okay.
We only played nine, and I did all right. I scrambled for those nine, still shot a 41, so I was all right. So my last two rounds, 39, 41, I will take that all day.
I would take 41 for the first five holes.
No, you wouldn't. And I was I was scrambling throughout that round.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty pleased that by the time I hit the seventh hole, I'm thinking, you know what, I might actually have a decent score here. And it turned out all right. How was your weekend?
Very quiet.
Yeah.
Not bad, but very quiet. Just family was back in town, just hanging out at the house. Did a big grill thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Had a couple of people kind of in our bubble. A couple of in-laws came over. And I grilled chicken drumsticks.
Okay.
And if you're going to do those right.
Please tell me what you're about. I hope to tell me.
First, you got to take some time. You got to, you know.
Okay.
The recipe that I used involved putting them on medium high heat for 15 minutes to kind of get to kind of get a little bit of char on them.
Interesting.
And then kind of low indirect heating for 60 to 75 minutes.
Oh, geez.
Then you
time.
Apply some barbecue sauce. I went with some Kansas City Gates sauce.
Yeah.
And then after that, you put them back on the heat for about 10 minutes or so, get them up to 160 degrees and also get the char from the sauce on there. And I mean, I don't mean to sprain my shoulder patting myself on the back.
But you are.
They were
amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. And then I grilled some wings as well. So it was grilled buffalo wings. I put the buffalo sauce on after. And
do you have a smoker?
I do, but I didn't use it this time. I just went with the straight up grill.
Oh, I'm going to make a suggestion, even though you crushed it. Start them off in the oven first.
Yeah.
Cook them through. Then grill it, and then you don't even have to worry about
temperature. Well, the alternate method for this was, if you could not keep your grill at consistent 275 degrees,
right,
was to use the oven.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I was just sitting there. I had a baseball game on. I was able to monitor my grill and keep it at the right temperature.
There you go.
It was cool but not cold. It was nice to be outside. And,
right.
This is one of the better meals that I've pulled off.
Good.
That was the highlight of my weekend.
Good. Harrison's going to be over all week before he goes back to Meeker. And I don't eat a lot of meat at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have a steak, three times a year, that's a lot. Well, it is going to be meat-a-palooza at our house. I just had some ribs in the oven for the last 4 hours.
Wow.
And then I'll finish them off on the grill. And then I'm going to break my arm patting myself on the back. I like to make mashed potatoes. And so roasted a couple heads of garlic, made some fresh bacon, got some chives in there, tons of butter.
Wow.
A little bit of cream. And Harrison wanted to do double baked. They don't even need to be double baked. I mean, they are so stinking good. That might be the best batch I've ever made. So I'm pretty stoked.
This
about
is a good food segment here. I like this.
Very good. Very good. Because that's why people tune in, to hear about how we cook.
Well, you know what? I think if you haven't really been able to get chicken drumsticks right.
Right.
I think we gave a good lesson. And y'all, if you don't know, the whole thing on chicken drumsticks is slow. Take your time.
Correct.
Chicken breasts, you can have those done in 15 minutes. No problem.
Yeah.
If you do them right. Steaks, same, less than that.
Yep.
Chicken drumsticks, You got to take your time with them.
Low and slow.
Low and slow, exactly.
Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, Dalton Risner had some very interesting things to say about Drew Lock in relation to Peyton Manning. Want to get to that in the second hour of the show, probably at 5 o'clock, but I want to get into this first. Peter King had an interesting column today saying, I have never seen quarterbacks get pushed up in the draft the way they are getting pushed up this year. Actually, he wrote this, but he quoted a middle-aged coach whose team is in the market to draft a quarterback this year. Trevor Lawrence, the coach said, deserves to be the number one pick. But after that, in my book, there's three receivers, a tight end, two offensive tackles ahead of the next quarterback. But this desperation for quarterbacks, ..
Yeah.
We know it is not Vic Fangio because he's not middle-aged. Generally speaking, middle-aged is probably between 45 and 55. Vic Fangio, he's not the guy. Bill Belichick, he's not middle-aged. He is not the guy. With that, if I had to guess... If I had to guess, Matt Rhule kind of sounds like the right guy. He sounds like the perfect guy.
Considering what his team just did?
Correct. That's why I would deduce it's him. Plus, I think he's 46, so he'd qualify as being middle-aged. With that, let's just talk about the Panthers as our example. They traded for Sam Darnold, okay? So do the Panthers make the right move to be in position to take the best player available? Or are other teams on the right track who need a quarterback and drafting one of these prospects?
Well, what's interesting is that Matt Rhule did a press conference today out in Carolina and said they're not in a hurry to move on from Sam Darnold or from Teddy Bridgewater and that they're exploring all options. He didn't completely close the door on taking a quarterback, but that being said, you'd have to say that it's unlikely.
Right.
It's unlikely that they would. They have more options now, but they also, if you think about it, it was not an insignificant amount of draft capital they sacrificed for Sam Darnold. They gave up a second-round pick. They gave up a couple of other picks, and they've already committed to giving him the fifth-year option.
Well, but they're going to get one of the top three wide receivers or one of the two top tackles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both are needs. Pitts will be off the board.
It's kind of like the Bengals, where they can move down and they can still get a receiver or a tackle, and they're filling a need. The Panthers are in kind of the same boat. They're gonna if they go tackle, if they go wide receiver, they're helping out whoever their quarterback is. Even though they're good at receiver, they could use one more. I mean, I would say that you get DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and say Devontae Smith, and you actually have a receiving core that can not only cause some problems but could also elevate Sam Darnold. Maybe that's part of what they're thinking. You know, normally we talk about the quarterback making the wide receivers. Perhaps they're thinking a little bit of the receivers making the quarterback.
I certainly understand how important the quarterback position is.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really, for lack of a better phrase, take a huge risk when you don't have a quarterback to take a quarterback when you're high in the draft because you have to get someone. Mm-hmm. And there's a chance you might be sacrificing some serious talent that you could have because you got to take that risk on a quarterback, right? Let's just take a look, just for the sake of argument, at the 2011 draft. Tennessee, they were desperate for a quarterback. Eighth pick, they took Jake Locker. They could have had Tyron Smith. They could have had J.J. Watt. But instead, they were desperate for a quarterback. Okay, actually, I take that back. Locker was number eight. Smith was the next pick. But let's look at Jacksonville. They took Blaine Gabbert. Or actually, Tennessee could have had Tyron Smith and J.J. Watt. Jacksonville could have had J.J. Watt. Instead, they took Blaine Gabbert. There's no guarantee that a non-quarterback is going to be successful. But the truth is, you're taking a bigger risk taking a quarterback than you are a guy who seems to be probably more fitted to definitely make in the NFL than a quarterback, where it just seems to be a lot of times a crapshoot more than the other positions when a guy appears to be terrific.
Well, once you get past, say, the top two or three couple of quarterbacks, say two or three, and I'd say if you're making the argument this year I would say that there are if you were valuing every position equally, I would argue that there are three quarterbacks that are worthy of the top 10.
Top 10. Top 10 is different than top three.
No, I'd say Trevor Lawrence is worthy of number one overall. And then, depending on your flavor, in the end sum, I've got Fields just a notch ahead of Zach Wilson. But I view them as if, in looking at every position equally, that they're probably about 5 to 7, realistically. If you're talking about talent, it's Trevor Lawrence, number one, Kyle Pitts, number two, Penei Sewell, number three.
A lot of people think Slater's better, but that's fine.
That's my that's my top
three. And what about one of those two or three wide receivers?
Ja'Marr Chase would be four.
Right.
I'd say Ja'Marr Chase four. And then at five, I'd probably get to Fields. Six,
I think he's the fifth best player in this draft.
The more that I look at him, yes.
Wow. The fact that you think that he's ahead of Zach Wilson, you better be right, because I will remind you of this forever.
I'm sure you will.
I know I will.
I'm sure you will.
And you'll remind me too.
Yeah. Now, Trey Lance, he's more of a boomer bust guy. So because there is that high ceiling, yes, but because there's the chance that he absolutely bombs because he only has 1 year of experience at North Dakota State because he's got a lot to learn. Realistically, Trey Lance is probably somewhere, if you're valuing every position equally, is probably somewhere in the mid-teens. I'm not even sure. I don't think Mac Jones would be in my top 32.
No.
Because
Kyle Shanahan might feel different.
Well, the thing about first rounders in general, whatever position you're talking about, is unless it's the 2013 draft, which was the worst draft of this generation, the first rounders all have some special attribute to them, no matter what position they play. I mean, Najee Harris is going to be a first round running back. He's got some special attributes to him.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker out of Notre Dame, is going to be probably picked somewhere between 15 and 25. He's got special attributes in terms of his read and recognition ability and the speed that he shows to drop into coverage. But again, quarterbacks, the nature of this is that there's a bit of a premium on them. So what you often see is someone who's more of a second-round prospect goes in round one. Someone who's more of a third- or fourth-round prospect, if they play another position, is at round two.
All right, coming up after the break, trade deadline is over in the NHL, and the Avalanche didn't make huge moves, but you know what? I think they made some pretty good moves to position themselves to win their first cup in a very long time. Mike Chambers, who covers the Avalanche for the Denver Post, joins us next.
Yes, I'm with you, my love. It's the morning.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in Mike Chambers, covers the Avalanche for the Denver Post. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Eric.
How much
better from you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. How much better do you feel about the Avalanche after the trade deadline, especially now that they have a veteran backup goaltender?
Well, this was the best team in the NHL a week ago, and I still think that they're probably the team to beat or among the top five. How much did they get better? I think that I think in terms of depth, they produce some needs, some minor needs, some obscure needs. But I think Patrick Nemeth on the blue line was a fantastic addition. He's a PK guy. He blocks shots. He's an own zone guy that maybe the Avs don't have enough of now with Eric Johnson out for the season, and Ian Cole traded and Zadorov traded. So I think Nemeth is going to add something on the back end, and I think Carl Soderberg, that's kind of a head-scratcher in a way.
But you know what's something funny, Mike?
It's depth, yeah.
Years ago, they desperately needed a guy like Carl Soderberg. Now, with the depth of this lineup, you're like, where the hell are you going to put him on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, Tyson Jost has been doing a great job as that third-line center. I'm not sure if Carl is slide into that spot and what's going to happen to Joe, but that spot, it started at the start of the season with JT Compford, and then he got hurt, and Joe's just been playing it lately. But yeah, this team is so deep and healthy right now up front. It's kind of interesting. I mean, maybe Soderberg plays just in certain situations against certain teams. I'm not sure, but I'm sure we're going to find out here tonight or tomorrow.
Devin Dubnyk, of course, so that's maybe in some ways the headliner because of what the Avs endured in the postseason last year when their goalie depth was tested severely. Why did he make the most sense for the Avs here at the deadline?
Well, I think he's just a guy he's a massively built dude at 6'6", 220 pounds. And he's experienced. He's played in this league for a long time. He's got 250 career wins, and he's a guy that you can put in there and know that he's going to compete and play with confidence. And he's going to enjoy the opportunity to have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. Johansson, on the other hand, I just don't think that mentally and experience wise, he's your number two guy. I think he slots in well as a three guy, and he can play a little bit down the stretch and maybe in the playoffs a game or two, but I don't think you want him as your primary backup. But I think that the position overall right now is in good shape. I think with those three goalies, every NHL team has to carry three goalies, and I think that position looks pretty good right now. I don't think it's the best that it's ever been, but I think Dubnyk's addition really makes it a lot stronger.
We are talking with Mike Chambers, covers the Avalanche for the Denver Post. Here was a signing that flies really low on the radar, unless you are a hardcore hockey fan. I don't think a lot of people know the name Liam O'Brien, but was he brought in specifically to play against Vegas in the playoffs?
I think so. We didn't even know who he was. He was on an AHL deal.
And you're a hockey guy. We didn't even know who the hell he was.
Well, yeah, but typically we don't really follow the Eagles players that are on just an AHL contract, because that kind of says that the Avs aren't interested in them, but they, like, round out the depth at the Eagles. So I wasn't really aware of this guy. And then all of a sudden they sign him to an NHL deal. And then all of a sudden, he's playing a game. And pregame, I remember we asked Bednar what this guy is all about. He says, well, he's a wrecking ball. And sure enough, that's what he is. And he's kind of fun to watch. He's got that beard and then that just stare to him, that grin. And he doesn't seem like he's scared of anything. And I think that he is a weapon that the Avs are going to combat against teams like Vegas, those big and heavy teams, and that's something I don't think the Avs had before Liam O'Brien.
So he's a Chris Simon, but without the skills.
Not quite as big.
Right, but in terms of being a wrecking ball, you fear, well, just, when you see this guy on the ice, you don't mess with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing that if other teams are taking runs at McKinnon and the other star players, they just know that O'Brien's in the lineup and he's going to come looking for you.
Right.
And I love it in hockey. I mean, some people think that, you know, me and my fighting is way off the charts and that's old school hockey, but it's a deterrent. And I love a deterrent. It keeps guys honest. And after dabbling from college hockey to the NHL over the years for 25 plus years, I've seen how in college hockey, it's not a deterrent because you can't really fight. And it's something that belongs in the game, in my opinion. And I think the Avs have a pretty good, tough guy in this O'Brien.
saw on CBSSports.com noted that the 17 deadline deals this year, that were made today, the lowest since 2000. Why do you think that the deadline league-wide was relatively quiet compared to some other years?
That's an interesting question. I think it's got to be probably something COVID-related and how it's a flat cap. It's going to stay flat, and teams just don't have a lot of room. I know in almost, or I should say most of the trades, the team that's selling is retaining a lot of money. So I think that plays into it. I think it's got to be something around COVID because, you know, basically in the offseason, free agencies and stuff, guys were signing so for so much less than normal. So, yeah, that's I got to say it's got to be COVID.
When people listen to this show, they probably think not only do I talk a lot, but I probably talk too much. With that, I listen to every word my partner says and our guests say. And I remember what they say years later. So I want to refresh your memory about a conversation we had last year. And we talked about the Avs going into the bubble. And I said to you, in some ways, are you really looking forward to the Avalanche making a run for the Cup knowing you really can't cover them the way that you want to? And you said, Eric, honestly, not really. Not really. I would like them to win the Cup, but if I can't be there, it's not really as fun. A year later, how are you feeling?
Kind of halfway there. I mean, we've got some fans in the building. We're back in the press box. We were watching the game, freezing our tails off on the concessions area. We're getting back, and I think it would be a fun Cup run. I figure that we're going to travel at that point. It's not in a bubble, so I think it's going to be a lot more fun, and I'd love to see it. I mean, I haven't covered one in 20 years, so to answer your question, it is different, but we're not quite there.
Well, I'm hoping you can see it. I know you have an appointment coming up in 4 minutes, and when you do see it, hopefully you see it a little bit better, if you know what I mean.
I got you, brother.
My man. Mike Chambers, Denver Post, covers the Avalanche. Hope to have you on again, my friend.
Love to. Thanks.
All right, Mike Chambers. He's getting ready to go see the optometrist. So he'll be able to see the game a lot better.
Get that those contact lenses or the glasses prescription. It's very important.
Yeah, it is.
Optometrist, not the ophthalmologist, right?
What did I say?
Optometrist.
Yeah, I always get that stuff wrong.
Yeah, like the ophthalmologist is like the eye doctor. The optometrist is where you go in and they do, you know, number one, number two. One, two, and you're like, two's a little better than one.
Right.
Three and four.
Coming up after the break, a Rocky Mountain Forest product shout-out question to our friends Ty, Cal, Kate, and Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast. Jason LaConfort of CBS Sports is reporting what a lot of people are reporting. The San Francisco 49ers are going to take Mac Jones. Is this a sleight of hand? Are the 49ers basically just trying to play with everybody and make everybody think they're going to do one thing when they're going to really do something else? That's next. What a very special time for me as I remember.
You need cool.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen to us, 98.1 FM. 107.5 HD3, reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com.
Okay, time now for our Rocky Mountain Forest product shout-out question to our friends Ty, Cal, Cade, and Evan. From the Just Us Guys podcast, Jason LaConfort of CBS Sports reports that Mac Jones, being a lock at number three for the San Francisco 49ers, is, quote, not passing the smell test of some other teams in the draft. He reports these quotes from unnamed executives. I don't buy it, said one AFC executive. I think Fields is number three, said another executive. I don't know one way or the other, but I have a hard time seeing Mac Jones as the third player in this draft. That comes from another executive. And then an NFC executive says, doesn't smell right to me. I'll say this. Adam Schefter, who knows the Shanahan family very well, reports it's going to be Mac Jones. If Mac Jones is the 49ers pick, is that doing the Broncos a favor?
Absolutely, it does. Remember, we had James Palmer of NFL Network on last week, and he talked about how just because there were five quarterbacks did not mean that you were considering all five of them, right?
Right.
And I'm not sure that Mac Jones is really on the Broncos' radar, but Justin Fields and Trey Lance appear to be.
For lack of a better phrase, I think Mac Jones is a system guy, and Kyle Shanahan has a system, and he may feel that Mac Jones fits his system and checks a lot of those boxes. I don't know what Mac Jones's upside is, but then again, I don't think a lot of people thought, I don't know, Tom Brady had much of an upside. Brett Favre had much of an upside. Joe Montana had much of an upside.
Well,
but I will
Favre had upside. Favre had a cannon compared to some of those other guys.
Okay, I'll take Favre out of the equation. But for Joe Montana, he didn't have a ton of upside, but he was in the right system with Bill Walsh. And Tom Brady was in the right system. Pick your offensive coordinator of the month. But that offensive system always seemed to be the same with every single offensive coordinator. Who has more upside? You can make the case. For sure, it is Trey Lance. More than likely, Justin Fields. Maybe not so much Mac Jones. So, to you guys from the Just Us Guys podcast, we believe it'd be good for the Broncos if Mac Jones goes number three. What about you guys? With that, is the notion that Jones might not go at three, okay, why the Broncos haven't, you know, moved up to, say, pick number five? Is that a legitimate question?
Yeah, I think it is a legitimate question, because when you're looking at the situation and you get the sense that George Payton wouldn't mind moving up, but he doesn't necessarily want to give up a lot to do it. Maybe he doesn't want to give up the first-round pick next year to move up. You would probably have to give up the first-round pick next year to move up to number four. It is possible that a deal with the Bengals at number five, A, you're not going up quite as high, and B, areas of strength for the Broncos in terms of depth, like, say, wide receiver, are areas of need and weakness for the Bengals. So you could maybe construct a deal with the Bengals that it might cost you, say, a second-round pick and a player, but it might be a deal that doesn't cost you your first-round pick in 2022. I don't think you can make that deal with the Falcons without giving up your first round next year, especially because they seem pretty happy with the options that currently avail themselves to them sitting at number four, including Kyle Pitts.
Back in the day, and they've done a remake of the show now with a guy by the name of Brady. I think it's Wayne Brady. There's a show called Let's Make a Deal. Mm-hmm. And in order to be able to choose door number one, door number two, or door number three, you have to give up what you have previously won. Now, if behind door number one is Trey Lance, and behind door number two is Justin Fields, and behind door number three is Mac Jones, are you willing to give up your Amana refrigerator freezer and your $10,000 in cash in the copy of the home game to possibly get door number three? You're probably not, even though you might get, Lance. You might get Justin Fields. But as the way the draft unfolds, you're going to be willing to give it up. You're going to be willing to give up that whole kitchen set and the cash and the copy of the home game if you already know that Mac Jones is not behind any of those doors. That's when you make the trade. So there are a lot of executives out there thinking it might be a smokescreen. First of all, I don't know why it would be a smokescreen. We know who the top two players in the draft are. The 49ers might as well have the top pick in the draft because we know who's going one or two.
Right. There's no reason to see it here.
There still is that uncertainty. Now, if this were John Elway, he could call John Lynch and say, what are you thinking of doing? Mm-hmm. Now, Lynch might say, I'm not 100% sure yet. And John Elway would say to John Lynch, when you know for sure, as my buddy, would you please let me know at your earliest convenience? And if it is not going to be Mac Jones, then we're not going to trade up. But if it is going to be Mac Jones, we're going to make a trade as soon as possible. Right?
Yeah. Why doesn't John Elway do that right now?
I mean, he's still
technically the president of football operations.
Right.
And that's where you maybe whatever kind of role he has right now, there's nothing to stop him from placing a phone call to his fellow Stanford alumnus. And don't forget.
Oh, by the way, I'm sure he has Mike Shanahan's number too.
Yes, exactly. The other interesting thing with Elway and Lynch is John Lynch's first exposure to football operations was sitting in the Broncos draft room several years ago.
Right.
When John Elway was running it. Elway did Lynch, then a broadcaster for Fox, a favor. Hey, get kind of a glimpse of it, a feel for it. And almost kind of like, see if you like it.
Who is second in command to John Lynch over there?
A guy named Adam Peters.
Oh, and where did he used to work?
He used to work for the Denver
Broncos.
Do you
think that maybe Peters might give it up to Elway, considering he hired him? If anybody has an inside track to knowing what the 49ers are going to do, it is John Elway if he uses his title as president.
And you know what? If we hear in the next several days that the Broncos have moved up to number 5,
they know.
Then they know exactly what the 49ers are doing.
And oh, by the way, just for fun, Justin Fields is going to have another pro day. And so is Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. And I would guess the 49ers will make the trip because while they might be leaning towards Mac Jones, why not get as much data as you can?
Real quick, should the Broncos be at those pro days?
Absolutely.
I agree. Now, maybe not the same people. Pat Shurmur didn't go to the Lance or Fields pro days because of COVID restrictions. Maybe you send Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio to these pro days.
Danny, what do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Well, you may remember that Alex Rodriguez was in the hunt for the Mets ownership. He may be zeroing in on a new team. Also, we'll talk about the Browns trying to add another premier pass rusher to their defense. All that next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman, if you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public. Go to rmfp.com. Don't forget, top of the hour, we're giving away one large specialty pizza to Marco's Pizza up in Aurora. Two great locations. One is off of Smoky Hill Road. The other one is off of Quincy. Want to bring in my friend, Debbie, one of the owners of Marco's Pizza in Aurora. How are you, Debbie?
Hey, I'm doing good, Mr. Eric Goodman. I'm doing well.
Good.
How are you?
I am great. Listen, we talk about the pizza bowls, and the pizza bowls are great, but they don't have the crust. And listen, if I'm going to eat a pizza, I'm going to eat a pizza because I love crust, and I love bread, and I love your dough because it is made fresh every day. And
easy,
there are
yummy goodness.
Yeah, there are a lot of pizza places out there that only have a couple of types of crust, but not you guys. What do you got?
We have 5 different types of crust.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy. I was actually talking to a friend of mine this morning, which brought me to the subject, because he said he really likes our crust, but he says sometimes it's just too thick, and he likes it a little thinner.
Right.
So he made the confession to me personally.
A confession?
That he had ordered pizza from a different place.
Was it a religious experience when he made this confession?
I honestly shed a tear, but it's okay. But I told him, hey, you know, you just have to know what to ordering. So I thought, I tell you all the 5 different types. So one is a gluten-friendly crust, and then we have the thin crust. Those two are both like a cracker-based crust. Mm. They come to us pre-made.
Right.
That's just the way it is for that cracker thin crust. They have a similar texture. The gluten-friendly is a little bit thicker, but they're both kind of that cracker thin crust. And then we have our fresh dough that we make, the yeasty, yummy goodness. We make that every day, and that comes in light, regular, and thick.
Hmm.
So it depends on the dough ball that we use to spread for that particular size of pizza that you order. But you don't have to get just the regular crust if it's a little too much for you, and you just like that slightly thinner crust, but you don't like the cracker crust. What you want is light.
Do you flavor those crusts?
We put flavor on the outside, on the crust.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have crust toppers.
Oh.
And I know, it's so good.
Do tell.
And we take the garlic butter and we squeeze it around the edge of the crust, and then we sprinkle that with your choice of Parmesan or Aroma seasoning, which is a red pepper type of seasoning around the edge. Or, honestly, a combination between the two, Roma seasoning, because it's like Parmesan and Roma together. We call it Romazon.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And we sprinkle that all over the crust so you can really eat the whole thing and feel like you're getting quite an experience. It's yummy.
Now, it's called Marco's Pizza, but you do more than pizza, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We do pizzas and salads and subs. Mm-hmm.
And the pizza bowls. I mean, we've been talking about crust and bread the whole time, but let's tell people, you know, gluten-free I get, but if you don't want all the carbs, and if you're going to eat a pizza, right? But if you don't want the carbs, tell us about the pizza bowls.
The pizza bowls are like the muffin toppers of pizza. You just get the toppings, all the good stuff that you want anyway. You know how it is when you're just about full of pizza, and you know, you get that last piece, and you think, okay, maybe I won't eat the crust. I'll just pull the toppings off the top and eat that.
Right.
You've done that, right? I've done that.
I have never ever pulled toppings off a pizza because, again, being a Chicago guy with a Chicago crust, it's got to be great. If the crust and the cheese are not great, there's no point in going to a pizza place. And you guys check both boxes in spades.
That's true. I'm a huge fan of my own pizza. I love it. But sometimes, you know, I'm just really full. But I don't want to waste that last bit of cheese, that last bit of meat. So I'll take the toppings off of my crust and just eat those, like the last 2 bites. I'm like, I just don't want to waste the meat, that last piece of sausage. That's what the pizza bowl's like. It's just all the good stuff in there. It's so yummy.
How do people get a hold of you? How do they find you?
You can find us at 470 and Quincy or 470 and Smoky Hill. We're just maybe a half mile to a mile from that location, from 470. Just pop off 470, come in, say hi. Say Debbie sent you over to get some really good pizza.
Don't forget about Mike. I mean, you can really leave him out of the
equation.
And Mike too. And Mike
He's not
too.
On the phone.
And Mike too.
And Mike too. Debbie and Mike too. Said, come on over and get some really good pizza.
Okay, so let me ask you, because we got to run. I'm going to send you a copy of this interview today, right? Should I not send it to Mike so he doesn't listen to it at all, or should I just send it to you?
He knows how I am. Go ahead and send it to both.
I will. Debbie, have a great day.
All right, thank you.
See
you.
Bye.
You too.
Right.
Bye.
Time now for the final word.
The final word.
Are you presented by Revive Performance for Men. If you've lost your confidence in the bedroom because of erectile dysfunction, get what you want so you can give her what she wants. Go to rpm-colorado.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, Alex Rodriguez and his partner, billionaire Mark Lohr, are finalizing a deal to become the owners of the Minnesota Timberwolves and Minnesota Lynx. What do you think about this news, and how do you feel about Alex Rodriguez being a basketball owner?
I'll start. Alex Rodriguez isn't a good businessman. He is a brilliant businessman. You may hate the fact that he did PEDs. You may not like him as a player. You may not like him as a person. But he is as good in business as he was in baseball. An insert PED joke here if you want to. But he's a brilliant business guy. Period.
The one thing about this that you do wonder about, when it's, and this was going to be true of any Timberwolves sale to people who weren't from Minneapolis, is, you know, they've got an older arena, looking for a new building. Does this mean that they enter the relocation possibility? That's the one thing that kind of looms over this for the city of Minnesota. But like you said, he's a tremendous businessman. If he can, if whether it's going to be in Minneapolis or somewhere else, I think he'll probably do a tremendous job owning the team. I just hope it doesn't result in them leaving Minneapolis, because the Twin Cities have supported that team well, considering they've done basically diddly-poo for most of their 32-year history.
Just to put this in perspective, do you watch the show Shark Tank?
No.
Okay. Danny, do you watch the show Shark Tank?
Not as much lately, but I am very familiar with the show.
Okay, great show. So basically, they have the same cast of characters. Mark Cuban and Lori Greiner and Kevin O'Leary and a bunch of other, Damon John. Sometimes one of those five or four aren't always on there. Barbara Corcoran's on there as well. Every once in a while, one of them cannot be on the show. And they have guest sharks. Alex Rodriguez is a guest shark on that show. And they're not bringing him on because of name recognition. They don't need Alex Rodriguez on their show to get ratings. They've been around for about 13 years. They don't need Alex Rodriguez, but they bring in heavy hitter entrepreneurs. And Alex Rodriguez is clearly one of those guys if he is a guest shark on that show, kind of like the guy who founded Kind Bars. Right?
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing when it comes to business. You may think he's a schmuck as a person, and you may hate the way that he took PEDs and he shouldn't get into the Hall of Fame, but as far as business goes, he certainly knows what he's doing. That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, try before you buy. You can walk into any store. Try out the appliances before you buy them. Can't do that at the big box stores. Not to mention, and this is important, when you are making a purchase like this, you want to ask the right questions, but you also want to work with somebody who knows the answers. You might want to work with somebody who can help you design a kitchen. The people at the big box stores, they can't help you design a kitchen. They can do that at Mountain High Appliance. They can also help you find something to fit your budget. Big investment, have the best people to work with. That is Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their outlet center, their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, Dalton Risner, he likes Drew Lock. But you know what else he really likes? He likes the fact that Peyton Manning likes Drew Lock. What did Dalton say? We'll talk about that next.